You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Take a seat, if you would, and turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is where we're going to be. But as you're turning your Bibles, I want to tell you about the guide that we have, our weekly guide, because it's got some really great things in here. We've been talking about Mission 1-8 for a good while now, of us raising up our giving so that we could do things we've never been able to do. And here we have a lot of information about us being a multi-site church. We're one church. We're in Cypress just as much as we're at the Loop. We're in downtown just as much as we're in Siena, and vice versa, and all the way around. And so we've got in here three different things in the entrance or the middle panels that tell you about Cypress. We're buying land and going to build a building out there. That's amazing what's happening there. Yeah, let's applaud that for sure. That's good. Downtown, we got children's ministry starting because we found these things. These people have babies. It's the craziest thing. So we've got that happening. We've got Siena, that this is the first Sunday that in Siena they're going to two services. So we've grown enough to have two services there, which is just amazing and wonderful. And then on the orange flap, I want to announce to you a new campus that's going to launch Easter of 2015. It's a Spanish campus, and it's going to be right here. Yeah, está bien. All right, way to go. Mi gente, mi people, kind of. We got a heart for that, and we want to be able to see God do his work. So right at the Loop campus, it's going to be a Spanish campus. And so we've got Pastor Juan's going to be with us. We'll introduce him to you later on. We've got some great information. It'll start Easter Sunday. It's when it'll start. We're trying to do something a little crazy, a little different. Here's what we're going to do. It's going to be Spanish worship. It's going to be Spanish feel. It's going to feel Espanol all the way through. And then this little dude's going to show up on video, okay, is what's going to happen. And people will be able to listen if they need a translation, but there's a lot of folks who quien hablan dos idiomas, okay? People who speak both languages, and so we're going to put this hybrid together. A little Spanglish going on is what it's going to be. So we're going to have that, and it's going to be an amazing time. So be praying for that and looking forward to that. Another piece of good news I want to tell you. 2 weeks ago, we stood on this very stage, and I had a bunch of adopted children behind me and adoption parents, and we prayed as a church that God would bring us to the 100th child that we could help scholarship, because we've been scholarshiping and helping with adoptions, very expensive. So we were at 99, and we prayed as a congregation we would get to the 100th child, and a little girl was born in McAllen, Texas. And she has been adopted into a family in our church, and that's a 100th child to be adopted that we've helped scholarship as a church. That's cool, isn't it? You're a part of that. That's what your giving and my giving does, is help these things happen, which is just an amazing thing. So we celebrate that. That's a great deal. We've been in Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul's been giving us a huge run-on sentence. In Greek, it drives English teachers, or Greek teachers, I guess I should say, crazy, because there's no punctuation. It just is going, and then, and then, and then, and then. He's so, so excited. Well, what's he excited about? We've been looking. What he's excited about is we get in verses 3 through 6, we get that the Father selects. So we see the Father in it. Then verses 7 through 12, we see that the Son sacrifices. He makes a huge sacrifice of giving his blood. And we talked last week about the importance of blood sacrifice. Jesus died for us so we wouldn't have to die in our sin. Blood had to be shed. It's all through the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. And now we're going to see today that the Spirit seals us. So we see the Trinity in this. We've got the Father, we've got the Son, we've got the Spirit, and all of these things come together for the Spirit to now seal us. So the Father selects us. We had some kind of tough theological things going on, because it says predestined from the beginning of time. And how do we look when we see that the Bible teaches God's sovereignty and he teaches man's responsibility? It's a tension. It's like a rope that goes over a pulley in heaven, and you've got two ends down here, and how do they connect? Somehow they connect in the Lord, his sovereignty and man's responsibility. And then the Son's sacrifice, that he died for our sins. And today we're going to see that the Spirit seals. The Spirit seals. Now, we have a lot of amazing church members, and one of them that we have that's a member of our church is Judge Ryan Patrick, and he is the judge of the 177th District Court. And so I asked him if he had some kind of seal that we could give a little bit of an illustration. So he brought me this seal from his courtroom. And what this seal does is they take a court document and they stamp it, and it says District Court of Harris County, Texas. And when they stamp this on a document, it now goes into the file forever and ever. Amen. This is now done. It's finished by the court. Here's what it means. He also gave me another one that's kind of more of a kind of a neat one. They use a little bit older time. It's an embosser. So you could get the embossing District Court of Harris County. So this is a seal that says whatever happened in that court, it's done. It's finished. Why do we seal things? So that they can't be tampered with. So they can make it in longevity. The Holy Spirit has sealed us is what we're going to learn. That's what we're going to see for all of eternity. So I've got these stamps to illustrate that. Also, if you've got a speeding ticket, bring them by after the service. I will take care of it today, okay? We'll just see if it works. Who knows? It might work. We got a seal that does more than speeding tickets. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit. Look, if you will, chapter 1, verse 13. This is what it says. And in him we were also made, or in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him, that phrase is all through Ephesians 27 times, in him, when you believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. In him, in verse 13, it says, when you heard the gospel, then you believed in the gospel, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, sealed by him. The Father selects, the Son sacrifices, and the Spirit seals. We see the whole Trinity there. And we have been sealed. If you're a believer in Christ, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's really this. It's kind of the gospel according to Stevie Wonder, isn't it? Remember that song? Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours is what it means. Here I am, baby. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Yeah, it goes. You remember that song? Choir's been wanting me to join after the early service. That's what it's saying. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. I belong to you, God. I am yours. It's not the gospel according to Stevie Wonder. It's the gospel according to Jesus Christ. Because what we see here in one verse, we get the gospel. We get the whole thing. Well, how do I share Christ with somebody? This one verse will take you through the whole deal. Here's what it says in verse 13. Look at verse 13, and I'm going to circle a few things for us. In verse 13, it says, when you heard the word. The first thing is that we hear the gospel. You're hearing it right now. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sins. God sent his one and only Son so that you don't have to die in your sin. He died for you, and if you'll receive him in faith, Jesus will wash you clean, and you'll be assured of heaven. That's the good news. When you heard the word of truth, what is it? The gospel of your salvation. Next step, when you believed in him. So you hear the word of God, you hear the gospel, and then we make a decision. We step forward to place our belief. I believe your death was for me. I believe your resurrection was for me. I believe that my sin was washed in your blood. I place my belief in Jesus Christ. When I heard the gospel, the next step is I believed in him. So then you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So I heard the word. I believed that Jesus was a Savior, my Savior. I was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit forever and ever, amen, because of the promised Holy Spirit there. So that's the thing. Maybe you want to just circle that in your Bible. Heard, believed, sealed. And that's what we've been looking through this Ephesians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit has sealed the believer in Christ. Now here's what that means, among many other things I'm going to tell you. First of all, you get as much Holy Spirit as you're ever going to get upon salvation. If you don't get, and you got to know this, if you think you get forgiveness or you get the Holy Spirit on an installment plan, you're going to always feel like you're a little bit bankrupt. But it says, as we looked earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, that he has granted us with every spiritual blessing that he has lavished upon us. And so We have received all the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say you're partially sealed. It doesn't say you're kind of sealed. You're sealed by the promised Holy Spirit. You get as much Holy Spirit as you're ever going to get when you receive Jesus Christ. You heard the gospel. You believed the gospel. You were sealed in the gospel. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. Now, here's five things real quickly that sealing means. You can put them in your listening guide. Number one, sealing is a statement of authenticity. It's a statement of authenticity. So when you look at the stamp on the piece of paper or the embossing from the court, you could say, this is authentic. This is for real. This really happened from the court. Nobody kind of bought something at the flea market and stamped it. This is the real deal. So it gives authenticity. In Esther chapter 3, the king gives his ring to Haman, and he seals a letter, and he seals the letter by his ring so that they knew that this was an authentic letter from the king. There was no question about it. It was an authentic seal. God gives us the Holy Spirit to show the authenticity of the cross and that God lives in our heart through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. It's an authenticity that he shows. Number two, the security and protection. Security and protection. We're sealed. That gives me great security and great protection that I can trust in those things. Give you a couple examples. They're not really the best examples in the sense of everything turns out good. It actually does turn out good, but you'll see what I'm saying. When Daniel was put in the lion's den, they sealed the lion's den so that Daniel could not get out. Daniel chapter 6, verse 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring, the signet ring of his nobles, so that in regards to Daniel, nothing could be changed. So he sealed. Jesus, when he went into the grave, so he could conquer the lion of sin, he went into the grave and the stone was rolled and it was sealed. He was sealed into that grave. Verse 66 of Matthew 27, and they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard. So they have a seal over the stone, a guard that is stated there, and God shows I'm greater than any seal by protecting Daniel in the lion's den by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's higher than the government is what God is saying, that he's higher than that. So there's a seal of security and protection. Number three, a seal shows ownership. It shows ownership. That signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. I belong to you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. For do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, it who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Now, if you're not a believer in Christ, if you hear the ownership of God in your life, that might sound scary. I don't know if I want God to own me. I mean, I'll go to church every once in a while, but I'm not asking for God to own me. Here's the deal. Either God owns you or sin owns you. Either God owns you or sin owns you. And let me ask you, which one do you think has your best in mind? Sin comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God has come, Jesus has come so that we can have life and life abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy is what the verse is, but he brings sin. And so you're headed on a road of sin. Sin wants to eat you alive. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And when we go to the Lord, it allows God to be the direction. He's the one that owns us. That is a great thing. There's an English missionary that he died, unfortunately, and his family was concerned because everybody on this foreign land started looting his apartment. He was dead, so they were going in and stealing stuff. The English consulate found out about that and came and put a seal across the door that said for the English government and the English monarchy, basically. Everybody stopped. Why? Because it wasn't that they were stealing from a person anymore. They were now stealing from the king. And the king had made a seal across the door. There is ownership and sealed in the Holy Spirit. We are owned by God. And that's awesome. I want to be owned by God. That's great. He created me. He knows me best. I want him to own me as well in my decisions, in my heart. Number four or five, it's a finished transaction. It's a finished transaction. To seal something, to make the stamp from the court is to say that it's finished. It's done. Jesus on the cross said this word, tetelestai. It is finished, is what he said on the cross. Chapter 19 of John, verse 30, when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, tetelestai, or it is finished. Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. This word, tetelestai, would be written on documents. If you had a loan, once you paid off that loan, they would write on the top of that loan, tetelestai. It is finished. So that if anybody said, well, you still owe me money, you could say, no, 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 no. I got to tetelestai right here. Jesus said, it is finished. It's a done transaction. Five, it's a down payment. A seal, sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's in verse 14 of Ephesians 1, what we're looking at. It says that the Holy Spirit is our down payment. Verse 14, he is the down payment of our inheritance. You know what a down payment is? Sure you do. It's like the engagement ring. We're not married yet, but we're going there. Don't worry. I'm not seeing anybody else. You're mine. I'm yours. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's done. It's an engagement ring. It's a down payment before the marriage. The earnest money is when they say, are you serious about the house? Because we're not going to talk to anybody else. Oh, I'm serious. I got $5. You're not serious enough. Down payment. I got $10. You're not serious enough. See, God has given a down payment on your salvation and my salvation, the earnest money, the engagement ring of the Holy Spirit in your heart and soul. That is way more than $5. That's way more than 20%. That is big time, more than a carrot on the hand. That is huge moment. He has sealed us and stated to us that he is the down payment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, and the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. See, if you were to go to heaven and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and they were to say, no, you can't go to heaven, you're going to have to go to hell. This is what one person put it like this. You would have to, he said, I would respond like this. Well, you have to also throw your son, Jesus Christ, into hell with me because he and I have become one. And the Holy Spirit lives in me as a down payment. We are assured of heaven when we die because of the authenticity, the security and protection, the ownership, the finished transaction, and the down payment of the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed. You are sealed. It's done. It's finished. It can't be any other way. Here's the big point. God, we are God's possession and securely so. That's what I want you to sense in this. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are God's possession and securely so. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I do not know why in the world you would not want to. You should pray and ask Christ to be your Savior. As I'm speaking, ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse your soul and be your Savior. And when that happens, you've heard the gospel. You believe the gospel. That's for me. I believe that in faith. And now I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know we belong to him. He wants us to know that. I've been thinking about this phrase all week long, and I want to share it with you. This is the phrase, and then I'll explain it. Forever is not a fairy tale. Forever is not a fairy tale. Here's what we think. We think forever is a fairy tale. It's the end of the Disney's movie when they say, and they lived happily ever after, right? But they usually then come back with another movie that's a sequel because the other one made a lot of money, and so we're going to do another one, and they keep going on like that. But they get the thought of the happily ever after. Forever is a fairy tale. We think forever is a fairy tale, and these things of forever are not a fairy tale. This is eternal, the Word of God, eternal, the Savior of Christ, the eternal deposit, down payment of the Holy Spirit. It is forever. And it is real. It's not a fairy tale. Here's why we think this. Our whole world is disposable. It's disposable. The clothes you're wearing now will be out of style in X amount of time. The phone you have now, I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's hundreds of dollars of plastic is what it is. All of the electronics we have, they'll be bigger or they'll be smaller in a few years, whatever it needs to go. We live in a disposable society. So in Siena, we're throwing things away. Downtown, you're throwing things away. At the Loop, throwing things away. Cypress, throwing things away. It's all disposable. Think about your great-grandparents' stuff. Think about their car. It was made out of metal, the whole thing. The dashboard was steel, is what it was. Everything. And now everything we have in our lives is all plastic, isn't it? It's all disposable. I remember one of our relatives, one of the grandparents in our family said, your generation doesn't get it. You throw everything away. And I thought to myself, and I might have said, I possibly said, and you should start throwing some things away too, because it's going to be a problem for us, okay, later on when you go on to heaven. So de-junk. Let me show you a few episodes of Hoarders, okay? And see what you think about this. So now in this, but we throw everything, everything's thrown away, thrown away, thrown away. So we think incorrectly. We move that into our theology and we think our salvation could be thrown away. If you could lose your salvation, you already would have. You already would have. He wants you to know that salvation is sealed in the Spirit. Salvation is sealed in the Spirit. Once saved, always saved is how we say it. That we are sealed in the Spirit. What an amazing thought that is, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That is huge. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something we're making up. In eternity, which is truly more real than the day we're living right now, you could be asleep and this could all be a dream just to mess with your mind. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, but many of us struggle with this because we live in a disposable world. Why do we struggle with it? I think there's three reasons why we struggle with this, of really trusting in our salvation. Three reasons. Number one is worry. We all worry way too much. We worry. Wayne Cadero puts it like this, that we pull out a worry net in the morning. It's like a little fishing net coming out of our chest of drawers. And we throw out this little net. And if we don't catch anything, we pull it back. And instead of saying, praise the Lord, there's nothing to worry about, we just put it back in the drawer and we pull out a bigger net. And then we throw out that bigger net. And if we pull it back and we don't catch anything, we put it back until finally we get a big enough net to find something to worry about. So we're worried about stuff all the time. And when you have a root of worry in your life, it's going to jump to salvation. It's going to jump to faith. It's going to jump to this, to that, all these things. It's coming from a root of worry that you got to crucify because it'll just show itself in all different ways. So that worry root, we just throw it out to try to get the net back in. We got to find something to worry about. If we can't find anything to worry about, well, let's just watch some news. That'll help us a lot. We'll get a lot of things to worry about then, won't we? But worry. Remember with my wife one time, she said, and ladies, I think you've probably said this before. I said, well, what are you worried about? She said, I don't know, just everything. You ever say that, wise? Everything. So me being the wise, wonderful husband that I am, I said, well, let me ask you this. Are you worried about the space shuttle? No. Well, then you're not worried about everything. We've established that you're not worried about everything. So I asked a few other things until finally I thought, I'm going to get in trouble here, okay? So just stay with the space shuttle, guys, what it is. And she's great, wonderful, godly woman, awesome. I love my wife, she's great. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she's doesn't worry all the time, it's okay. But we do that, we throw that out, don't we, where we worry about everything. So we can get worried, it can even be our worry of our salvation. Not only do we have worry, we look to works. So what does my life look like? What's my works look like? Am I really living for God? Am I really walking in the ways that I want to walk with God? How does it work in my life? My good deeds. So we see, we go, well, I know I'm sealed in the Spirit, but man, I've been doing some bad things. If you're in Jesus Christ, he wants to move you from doing those bad things back to realizing you're still sealed in the Spirit. How do you stop being your parents' kid? You don't. You don't. And you're always his child. And so it's not based on our works. Hear this. It's based on his work on the cross. That's what it's based in. Number three, we look to our feelings instead of our faith. So we look to our feelings instead of our faith. I just don't feel like I'm really close to God. I don't feel like that. You never shift in proximity to God. You may shift in intimacy before the Lord, but you never shift in proximity. You're always as close to him as you're ever going to get because you've been sealed in the Holy Spirit. So don't look for a new experience. Don't try to get a warm fuzzy that conjures up some emotion. Those are very subjective. Look at the objective thing. My faith is in Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me. Whether I feel it or not, the blood is true. The salvation is true. The sacrifice is true. And I've been sealed in the Spirit. So I'm not looking for my worry. Oh, I got to worry about it. I'm not looking to my works. I better make sure I do everything right. And I'm not looking to my feelings. I'm looking to Christ. That's who I'm looking to. His finished work. God wants us to be confident in our salvation. God wants us to be confident in our salvation. He wants that for you. He wants you to understand that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. God has given us eternal life, not just maybe life, eternal life. By nature, it's eternal. Salvation's eternal. And in this life, in his Son, the one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Very clear. I have written these things to you that you who believed, you see it again, we've heard it, now we're believing it, believe in the name of the Son of God. Here it is. So that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants you to know and be confident. So if you struggle with this, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I in? Am I out? What's the deal? I'm going to give you three things as a piece of homework. Number one, confirm it. Put your stake in the ground. If you can't remember the exact day and time from whenever you trusted Jesus as your Savior, right now, do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? His blood was shed for you, and you placed your faith and belief in him to receive that gift of salvation. If that's it, that's what you believe, confess that to the Lord. Put your stake in the ground. Let's walk on. Let's get on with it. Say, God, this is it. Number two, pick one of these verses of scripture that I've memorized. Your listening God is filled with scripture, and memorize one of these verses of scripture so that when this happens, when you start doubting, you can say, yeah, but this says, and this says, and this says. Number three, preach the gospel to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. You know what? I'm struggling with doubt right now, but here's what I know. I've heard Pastor Greg say it and other people say it. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me and it can never be taken away. I'm sealed in the Spirit of God and I will be in heaven when I die only because of trust in him. And just start preaching yourself sermons. Remind yourself of this good news of what God is doing and has done in your life. God is at work. Don't trust in your feelings. You are signed, sealed, delivered. You're his if you're a believer. And if you don't know Christ as Savior, come to know this wonderful proposition we are laying before you. Jesus as Savior of your heart and the world. And look at verse 14. As we conclude with verse 14, this is to give us such confidence. This is the end of Paul's big run-on sentence of and then, and then, and then. He says, he is the down payment. We talked about that. Of what? Of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession, that's us, to the praise of his glory. It's all to his praise and his glory. So here we have that we're the down payment of our inheritance. Inheritance is a word that we don't wish anybody to go on to the grave, but inheritance, if you got a phone call later and said, there's an inheritance you don't know about already, or you don't know about, you go, really? Inheritance is when you get something from somebody else's work, isn't it? Spiritual inheritance is our blessing from his work. Spiritual inheritance is our blessing from his work. What did you do? What did I do? I chose sin and I walked a path towards death. What did he do? He walked straight towards God. Jesus never sinned, never thinking about sinning, and he walked and he finished the work on the cross, finished work. And I get blessed by his work. What an amazing thing. Verse 3 of Ephesians 1, we went over a couple weeks ago. For he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies and lavished upon us all these gifts. Last week I gave you the homework of standing in the shower and letting the shower cascade over you for at least 15 seconds and just realize this is the grace and the love of God just lavishing over you, symbolized in the water. He has blessed you because of his work, not my works, his work. So I trust in that, and that's my confidence. I trust that he has done his work in me. I got a phone call for you. You've got a great inheritance. Somebody died to give it to you, and his name is Jesus. Whoa, wow. Christ's work on the cross secures the blessings and secures salvation. So do you see what's happened in this big run-on sentence? God the Father has selected and chosen He set it forth. The Son sacrificed by his death on the cross, and the Holy Spirit sealed it so that you could know that you're going to heaven. Here's the deal. Don't go into eternity with your fingers crossed. Oh, I hope so. I hope so. It's too big of a decision to have your fingers crossed, hoping it all works out or justifying it. Don't go into heaven with your fingers crossed. You're not going to get there. Go into heaven by the cross. That's how you get there. And when you heard what you have, placed your belief, which I encourage you to if you haven't already, you are then sealed. I'll give you a last verse of scripture and we'll wrap up. John chapter 10, verse 28. For I, Jesus speaking, I have given them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will ever snatch them from my hand, Jesus says. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Did you see that? It's a two-fisted grasp, two-fisted clench. Jesus says, no one will snatch them from my hand. And the Father, no one will snatch them from my hand. So Jesus has got you. And the Father's got you. And then the Spirit seals you. I don't have enough hands. You're held by the Father, held by the Son, and sealed with my foot by the Spirit. The whole Trinity has got you. So if you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you're saved. You're a believer. You're His child. You can never lose it. And from that, now we want to walk in holiness. We want to walk in obedience. From that, I'm going to choose sin? Are you kidding? No, that's the old man in me. He's got me, and I'm sealed in Him. It's authentic, it's secure, it's protected, I'm owned by Him, it's finished, down payment, finished transaction, it's over. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours, and I'm going with Him. Wow. Wow. And now you know why Paul goes, and then. He loves you, and He sealed you. If you need to make a decision for the Lord, place your faith and trust in Him through salvation, come to one of our campus pastors or me or someone, and we'll lead you in that. If you've been wobbly on this whole thing, this is a moment to just say, Lord, thank you, God. I'm putting my stake down and just saying in cement around the cross, I'm sealed in you. If you need to join a church, this is the kind of church we are. We love Jesus and we believe the Bible, and that's what changes lives. He sealed us. It's taken care of.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.